This is the Praying with the Eyes podcast, episode 46. Should I stay or should I go?
There are many organizations that offer short-term mission trips. These trips can strengthen our faith in Christ and with others. Yet there are differences between a short-term mission trip and long-term ministry. What are these differences? What are the benefits of taking a short-term mission trip? And what makes either a short-term mission trip or a long-term ministry at home work? Rochelle Hecker and I, Pastor Doug Bronner, will talk about these questions in this edition of the Praying with the Eyes podcast.
Welcome to the Praying with the Eyes podcast. Your hosts are Doug Bronner, Senior Pastor at Holy Cross Lutheran Church in Colorado Springs, Colorado, and Rochelle Hecker, mom and public speaker. As an avid photographer, Doug combines the beauty of God's creation with the beauty of His Word in a Praying with the Eyes devotional blog. Today's discussion digs deeper into a topic that was first introduced in one of these blogs. Thanks again for tuning in to today's podcast.
So, Rochelle, why is it that microwave manufacturers cannot make time their tables inside that rotate? Why can't they time it so that when you put the handle of your coffee cup in, when it goes off at a minute and a half on those half hours, that the handle is back in front of you again?
I'm just thinking that's not high on everybody's priority list.
It's one of those things that bugs me. Okay, we have these really nice microwaves down at church, and none of them you put in for a minute and a half. The handle's in the back, and then you have to get your hand scorched, you know, over the top of the hot water to get to it. I know the big things in life. Well, it's good to be back with you. We took a little break for the last podcast that would have come out on April Fool's Day, and that was not an April Fool's joke. It just ended up being I was getting ready to head out, I was at that time actually in Honduras, and was on my way back by the first, but getting ready for that trip, and Rochelle had many things going on in her life that we were not able to record a podcast. Yeah. So we're back with you this time, and as you might guess, having gone on a trip like that, we're going to talk about short-term mission trips and long-term ministry, and I'll define those terms a little bit later in this podcast with this theme, should I stay or should I go? The song from The Clash, 1982, is probably running through your mind for any of you old enough to know that song. It was the only one that made it to number one for The Clash in the UK. It's a kind of interesting song. I kind of enjoy it. But anyway,
it's in my head.
I know. We both traveled to different cultures. What makes traveling to different cultures difficult? And maybe what are some joys for you?
And this is just in general, not mission trips, but just traveling. You asked two different questions.
I did.
Throws off my brain.
Hey, that's a guy's brain. It's not supposed to be a woman's brain. Women are so much better at multitasking than guys.
I love visiting, one, just learning new things and being reminded that my way isn't necessarily the right way. Just being opened up to there's more than one way to do things, to think, to live. I enjoy that. I enjoy getting to know people from different cultures just because I like finding out what the similarities and differences between us are. You know, we're all a bunch of humans, so there's a lot of similarities in how we live and think and be. And then there's times when it's just foreign. the way someone reacts to a situation is just foreign. And I would say one of my biggest struggles, not just language. I have two kind of funny things. One, I have a little bit of knowledge in a few languages, not much knowledge. But it seems like no matter what country I'm in, it's the wrong language that pops into my brain.
I know very little language in foreign languages, and going to Honduras and Germany, and I found that to be an issue for me. When it wasn't so bad in Germany because a lot of people wanted to speak English, and so I'd say sprechen Sie Englisch bitte, and they usually would. And I still remember though in Bavaria, southern Germany, they're not really as reticent to speak English as they are in northern Germany. I went to this pub in Ansbach, Germany, and I asked the waitress there, sprechen Sie Englisch bitte? And she says, no. She didn't say nein, she just says no.
No.
And she wouldn't speak English with me.
My sister-in-law is from southern Germany, and she would probably tell you that a lot of it's just stubbornness. They, they just have a stubborn attitude down there. Yeah. So
I like traveling, but I'm one who we found out when we went to Germany, Janice and I did, that we really probably ought not take a trip like that to a different culture, different language by ourselves. We probably need to go with some kind of help, you know, like a tour group, or we were with a family that lived in Germany when we were there, and it made it a lot easier. Yeah, but when we were there, we're going, I'm not sure we're that adventuresome that we could do this on our own. It's not that we don't want to travel there, but we would.
You say that, and I'm thinking about it. I don't know that I've done much traveling where I haven't been with one. We were military, so we lived in Germany. And when I visited Japan, we were exchange students in high school, and we lived with families. It just seems like I've always been connected with people from the region, and I do think it gives you a deeper understanding and obviously help just with getting from place to place and things.
So tell me about Japan, because that's got to be an exchange student. I understand you're with a family, but still culturally, you know, German is still Western culture. And I felt comfortable in that culture. But how about a Far East culture? I mean, did that make you feel really out of place?
It didn't. I just loved being there. We were only there for 2 weeks, and I stayed with two different families who, by the way, the daughters had stayed with our family for 2 weeks.
So there was some familiarity already with family.
Yeah, it's our town is connected with a town there in Japan, and they exchange students back and forth. But what I found is they culturally very similar to us. Sense of humor is the same. They just had a lot in common. Now, I think if I lived there a long time, I would have found like going to school, interacting with the culture for a long time would be very different. But short term, it was great. We had so much fun.
Well, this discussion we're having today is based on a blog that I am in the process of writing called Should I Stay or Should I Go? Surprise, surprise. And it's reflecting on my experience in Honduras. This is the third time I've gone to Honduras. I've gone to Peru as well, and on mission trips. All those were on mission trips. And I began come back, and I was reflecting on the difference between what it means to go on a short-term ministry trip and what it means to be at home and be engaged in long-term ministry, and why some people, I shouldn't say everybody, but some people find it easier to go on a short-term mission trip versus the long-term ministry at home. So that's kind of a large overview of what's going to be a part of our discussion today. The Praying with the Eyes podcast is a ministry of Holy Cross Lutheran Church in Colorado Springs, and we'd love for you to go to our website at holycrosscs.org. You'll find out more about what's happening there. We're getting soon at the end of the month of April here, we're going to start opening up registration for our Vacation Bible School. And we've kind of mixed things up this year for our Vacation Bible School. It looks exciting and be a wonderful part of. And so you can go to the website, find out more about that as well, plus other ministries that are there. We would invite you to the Praying with the Eyes website, where it's kind of an obvious URL to go to prayingwiththeeyes.com, prayingwiththeeyes.com, and you'll find daily devotional blogs there, and once in a while, some other blogs. It's been a long time since we've had a reflection blog like the one I'm writing. Hopefully, we'll get some more of those going. And if you have questions for Rochelle and me, you can email us at questions@prayingwiththeeyes.com. Again, that's questions@prayingwiththeeyes.com. So I just got back early in the morning, April 2nd. We got in to Denver about midnight around that, and finally got to bed at 2:30 in the morning. I did make it to 11 o'clock worship service that morning, which I was rather proud of myself to be able to make it there. But it helps to have a wife who's going anyway. So I got up and made it to 11 o'clock worship. It was, we have a long-term relationship with a church in a little village of Le Padarique, Honduras. Not that small. It's about 4,000 people that live in Le Padarique. It's kind of the center of that region of other villages there as well. We have this relationship with Bethesda Church there through Compassion International, and a number of members of Holy Cross sponsor children in Le Padarique, as well as Tegucigalpa, and we have time to go spend with those children. But we do more than that. We did this thing called the Carnival this year, where we would meet with around 300 to 400 children the first time from all these surrounding villages. And we have a we sing with them. We have this skit. This year it was on the joy of the Lord is our strength from Nehemiah 8:10. And that became the theme. But then after that, we had all these little games set out through this open field in Honduras where some of our members ended up getting ticks. I avoided it this year. Last time I went, I had one as well. It's not fun. But the kids were just a joy to be with. And then we did a youth retreat in the afternoon, and we worshiped together with the people on Sunday morning. And it's great, great experience to be a part of while we're down there. So, you know, I'm just wanting to give you a little bit about it. I love going. I thought it was going to be another 3 years before I go again. And then I looked at the schedule for staff members. And Dan Hampton, our director of growth ministries, and I are going next year. So I'm looking forward to that. So Rochelle, let's talk for a little bit here about why would a Christian want to go on a short-term mission trip? Why would somebody want to go on a trip like to Honduras or Peru or somewhere else?
Well, and as we know, there's many people, so there's many different reasons. I know when I went to Ukraine, I had gone to a meeting just to learn about ministry, and there was a mission trip offered up, and I just really felt like God was clearly telling me to go, which is hard to describe to people, but it just felt that was what I was going to do. So that was mine, but I also know people that just kind of want to go for fun, like, oh, here's a group of people I know going to another country, and I should try that out.
Yeah, and I think that gets caught up in a sense of adventure. You know, so I'm going to a third world country, which a lot of these trips are to third world nations. Not all, but a lot are. And wow, I get to experience this culture of something completely different than what I'm doing. I think there is that sense of adventure, but within parameters of some safety. You know, for us going to Honduras, especially Tegucigalpa, is not a really great place to be. A lot of people consider Tegucigalpa to be the murder capital of the world, and it's not so much on foreigners coming or that kind of thing. It's more gang on gang activity. That's a part of that what's going on there, so Tegucigalpa, they have no street signs. Okay, and no numbers on the doors, and we're taking buses this whole time. And I don't know how it's one city of 1.7 million. You know, how do these bus drivers know where they're going? Yeah,
and maybe they do, maybe they don't. Yeah.
Well, hey, ours did because we never felt like we were wandering around. And the Wednesday of our trip, the school bus from Le Patrique with all of the staff on it from the Compassion Project joined us at this national park on top of the hill with a statue of Jesus on it and all this. But a school bus on these streets. Now, we were on shorter buses for just getting around town, but the school bus, they would get out of the bus, they would stop the traffic, and make their back and forth to get around some of these corners. Anyway, you got more than you wanted. Another reason I think people go is because, and I've heard this from members who've gone with us, is their spouse had been going and wanted them to go with them.
So they wanted it to be kind of a bonding experience for them. So.
And which I've seen actually does happen. I have seen it's not a reluctance, I don't think, that the spouse has gone. I don't think I've heard that story, but I'm not sure they would have gone otherwise.
Right, might not have been a calling otherwise. Well, and I was just thinking about it. I've sent my kids, and they wanted to go, but I encouraged them to go because I wanted them to see cultures that are, you know, when we go visit other countries, we rarely visit the poor parts of the world or the poor countries as just a tourist. So I think that's part of the call of the missionary work, too, is to see people that are struggling and try to help as opposed to just visiting.
Yeah, I think that is a call to it because when we go to Honduras, we see in Tegucigalpa, the poverty there is nothing like it is in the United States. We don't understand that depth of poverty. Not trying to say that poverty isn't an issue in this nation. It definitely is. It's different, and it's gut-wrenchingly painful to see when you go to on a home visit and there's a creek that's running by the home you're visiting that's just sewage. And then, you know, you hear stories that in the rainy season, it overflows its bank into the homes. You know, it, that kind of stuff, that kind of poverty. Whereas also in Honduras, there's an island that is a resort island. And a lot of people from the United States go down there for a resort. It's not the same.
Right. And so that's why I encouraged my kids to go on trips, is so they could see, you know, they have it pretty good in life. I wanted them to have a bigger picture of what's out there.
Yeah, because I went to Peru with your daughter, and in that village, your eyes were definitely opened to what that kind of, which is different than the poverty we see in Honduras, what it's like to live in that culture in a small village on the Ucayali River, where the houses are on stilts because the river will overflow its bank, and they have all canoes around their houses, where they're so in that, during that season, they get around in their canoes. Their homes don't have four walls. They may have two or three walls on them. You know, it's different. It's different, but it's neat to see. It's important to see.
It's important to see and important to realize that they're not going, most of the time, aren't even going around feeling sorry for themselves in those conditions.
They don't know any different. They don't know what we have here. And it's kind of we think that they know the wealth of our nation. They don't. They don't have a clue what it's like, just like we probably don't have a clue what their poverty is like. So,
right.
You're right. They don't. There's a happiness, especially in rural poor. In Le Patarique, man, there's a sense of community. I think that's what draws us back there, and is a desire for that kind of community in our lives. Well, we've talked about here why people might go. Rochelle and I want to talk about the issue of why it's easier sometimes to go on a short-term mission trip than to be engaged in long-term ministry in our own areas. We'll talk about that when we come back from this break.
Are you looking for a place where you are welcomed as you are? A place where your thoughts are welcomed as well as your doubts? A place where you can talk about God without being judged? Then I invite you to join in the life-changing experience of Life Tree Cafe. At Life Tree Cafe, you will spend an hour gathering with others to experience a host-led discussion over topics ranging from serious, fun, and quirky. For more information about Life Tree Cafe and for a location near you, visit their website at www.lifetreecafe.com. If you live in the Colorado Springs community, you are more than welcome to join us at Holy Cross for one of three Life Tree experiences on Monday or Tuesday over the lunch hour from 11:45 to 12:45 or on Wednesday from 6 to 7 p.m. Life Tree Cafe. Come join the conversation.
If you have questions for Rochelle and me, we would be happy to answer them at questions. If you email us at questions@prayingwiththeeyes.com, questions@prayingwiththeeyes.com. So I think I need to stop here for a moment and define just two terms and do this quickly. What do we mean by it? What am I speaking of specific, I guess, because I developed these definitions, Rochelle didn't. But I didn't think that at all about short-term mission. That's not my definition.
But right. If I disagree, I'll let you know.
Okay, thank you. Yeah, I know you will. A short-term mission trip I see is one that can last for a few days to a few months. But the key to it is that you never put down roots in that community that you are doing the mission trip as. It's And also here, in a short-term mission trip, we've been talking about foreign missions. It doesn't have to be a foreign mission. It can also be one within our own country, your own country. But it's still not in your environment. You're still not putting down roots. It lasts, again, for a few days to a few months. A definition of a long-term ministry for me is that kind of where we live, okay? It's doing ministry where God has planted us. That sense, as Rochelle reminded me during the break, that vocation of the where I work, where I live, it's where I buy gas, where I do my grocery shopping. It's that place. And the sense of calling that God gives to us to be doing ministry where we are. And I see them as very different. So I want to start out quickly by talking about a little bit here of what. Let me explain why I think it's easier to go on a short-term mission trip than to be engaged in long-term ministry. First of all, I have to put a little disclaimer here. I know that there are some people who would never consider going on a short-term mission trip, and maybe you're one of those people listening to this, and you're listening to us going, man, I never want to go on a short-term mission trip, and that's okay. We're not saying everybody has to go on a short-term mission trip in doing this, but in relationship now to those who do have a desire to go to short-term mission trip versus long-term ministry, I find that there are people who that will go yearly on a mission trip, but may not be engaged in ministry at home, and not have that same passion. And I kind of, I don't think that's all bad. And Rochelle, you had some thoughts about that when we were talking too, and I think you ought to share that going, you know, it's not necessarily bad either.
Now I'm trying to remember which thoughts I had. No, it's not necessarily bad. I mean, there's different reasons. One, when you're on a short-term mission trip, you can lay aside all the troubles that you have in your daily life and really focus on what's there. And some people, that's just better for them to not have to be thinking about paying the bills during that time, or all the different stressors in their life. So to be able to go away, spend your time on that mission trip, focused on the mission. And then when you come home, you have to be focused on all the different distractions of the daily life. So and, I don't,
it's not necessarily bad. So what I'm saying is not necessarily bad, but I think that's what makes it, it's about easier or more difficult. And I think because of all those other distractions, we're going to get into this more in a few minutes here. I think because of all those other distractions, it that's what makes ministry here where we live more difficult.
It does. And I'll even say that's for me. I mean, I have four kids. I'm a single mom. I'm running all kinds of directions. I have friends that are asking if I'll ever see them. You know, I don't even have time to build the relationships I already have. So trying to do something outside of that cycle is really a struggle, even though I have a heart for people outside that my little world. I physically cannot leave my little world to do anything for people.
Yeah. And that you can't. It's not possible.
But I could possibly for 2 weeks get tons of other people to take care of the things at home for me, and I could go focus on other people somewhere else if I knew it was just for a week or two.
So do you think about doing that? Just out of curiosity, since you brought that up, do you think about doing that?
I do. Right now at the ages my kids are, I prefer to send them and give them the opportunities, figuring I'll have an opportunity again one day. But yeah, of course I
You know, one of the things since my kids have all left home, I'm approaching one of my children, my grown sons, about going with me next year. I've already sent him a text and told him about it, and he's praying about it. And that would be fun to go with them, I would not be able to foot the bill if I had to pay for it. So I understand where you're coming from. We got kids. It's right. Either one or the other, not both. It's for many
exactly.
of us, right?
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. So granted, there, you know, we all have our strengths and our weaknesses, and specifically our giftedness. And I know that we have a member, a family in our congregation who I believe has the gift of what I would define as apostle in today's terms, not in the terms of one of the 12, but in the terms of being a missionary. They live in North Africa. They've been on the husband's been on a podcast before with us, and I can't see them living in the United States for too long a time. In fact, they had to for a while, and you saw them kind of go crazy wanting to get back to North Africa and where they are now and their family, and they're doing great. You know, that's a gift.
And raising their family there with their kids who are learning the language of the area they're in and feel more at home there than here. Yeah,
that's exactly right. And that's almost a family giftedness there, because they're so engaged and the wife and husband both together in this and they make it work and the kids are happy, like you're saying. Now that's different. But those people who have that gift usually find themselves living in that culture. I say usually because maybe sometimes they can't, you know, there's, they find it easier to live in that culture. But let's look at three reasons here that I'll bring up, and I'll talk about these also in the blog I wrote. That'll come out later. And when I have time, when it gets out, I will attach it to the show notes for this episode, which you'll find at the website, prayingwiththeeyes.com. And you'll see a banner there for episode 46, Should I Stay or Should I Go? If you click on that, you'll get to the show notes. It'll be Bible passages. I hope to put some other links to different blogs. I get time here. It's a busy week for me to be able to get this done by the 15th. But anyway, we'll try to work hard at that. But there's three reasons why I think it's easier to go on a short-term mission trip instead of being engaged in ministry at home. And I really want us to think about this and to be challenged by this. And if you have comments about it, please email us at questions@prayingwiththeeyes.com. So the first one I mentioned in this blog is the intensity of the short-term mission trip versus long-term ministry. So let me quickly explain what I mean by that. Short-term mission trips are very intense. There's not a lot of free time. Now, we may post pictures of some of the free time and on our on Facebook and so forth, but that's very little of our time. Our trip to Honduras this time, was a 10-day trip. 2.5 of those were spent traveling. Four and a half of them were spent in this village of Le Patarique and the rest in Tegucigalpa. We only had about 2.5 hours on a Friday afternoon for ourselves in a small little village to do some shopping. That's what we had. The days are highly structured, and we try to get the most out of every moment that we're there. Whereas ministry in our neighborhoods is long-term, and it's not highly organized. We go about our daily routine of life, and we don't consider it as ministry. What really it is, it's about that issue of vocation again. We long for a good night's sleep. We want to live for the weekend, those kind of things. Those become our goals here where we live, and not seeing this as ministry. And it makes it more difficult. Some of us might even think that real ministry out there is when we go to Honduras or India or even locally to a Native American community. So, I find what makes a short-term ministry maybe a little bit easier is because it's highly structured and very intense.
I'm just laughing because usually it's easier for me because somebody else structured it.
Okay, I like that because you're right. No, exactly. And that's what's happened. That happened on this trip too. I didn't do a whole lot of structuring of the trip.
Right. Whereas if I'm trying to do ministry at home, if I really want to actively consider interaction with my neighbors and my community ministry, I'd have to plan it. I'd have to make plan and do it decidedly, you know, actively be doing it.
And while
and that's not my strength.
Well, I'm sorry. What was that again, Michelle?
Oh, I said that's not my strength. Planning okay. is okay. not my strength.
Well, and you and I had on Alan Briggs about staying is the new going, and some of and I quote him in the blog too. And when you said that, I'm reflecting back because a lot of the book is about structuring and being intentional about ministry in your neighborhood. But you're right. You're so right. You know, a lot of our trip to Honduras was actually structured by the people in Honduras. You know, what we were going to do on what days and so forth. All that was structured by them. We structured what we were going to do in those moments. And that was done by teams. But, you know, that's really a good point. And I don't know.
That's the point that's easier for me. I'm a great follower on these things. I love to go where other people want to go. I don't like to plan it.
Well, and, you know, that's actually part of the reason we go on short-term mission trips and have them structured is for the participant to be able to set free from having to do that ordering and structuring. Therefore, they can take in more, reflect more, and experience more on that short-term mission trip. That's the value of a short-term mission trip.
Well, I was thinking the other piece of that, honestly, is finances. When we were talking about offline, but I said I would love to be a long-term missionary in another country, take my family and live there. I think one of my biggest fears for doing that is the fundraising. Funding that kind of thing.
Yes. That's what makes, you know, we can see the other side of the coin. That's what makes even a short-term trip difficult for many people is they're not cheap.
It's not cheap, but at least it's you know how much you need for a certain amount of time and you can save up for that.
But if you're going if you had a call to be a missionary in another country to actually be engaged in that culture, you got to do some fundraising here and the family.
Or even at home sometimes, if you're trying to do some intentional things, you might need to financially support that too. Depends on what you're doing.
And depend on the generosity of your friends and family. Okay, right. So that's the first one I feel like it makes it easier is that it's structured for us for on purpose to make us experience that culture, whereas ministry here has to be much more intentional. Long-term ministry has to be much more intentional. That makes it more difficult, and we're really on our own with that. But that's the first one. The second one is that I see making it easier are cultural differences. And you know, there are language barriers. I don't speak Spanish very well, but we always have an interpreter with us. And so more than one. We had 4 interpreters with us on this trip. And so finding an interpreter to help me work through it is there. But here's my main point on this, and it's one that I processed afterwards that kind of dawned on me, is that when I'm in Honduras for 7 days, let's say, because take away the travel days. I don't have time to form my prejudices because I don't live in that community. To me, everybody that's a part of the Honduran culture is Honduran and the same, and I don't have prejudices that built up yet, whereas the people who live there do. And when I come back home, I have my prejudices against people, communities, and so forth that make it more difficult for me to say, hey, no, God's calling somebody else to be and minister to that, to minister to that person, not me, because I have my prejudices. I don't know if that makes sense.
It does make sense to me, and I would add to that, not just the prejudice against certain types that we have built up, but also the fear of what if I connect with this person and they get on my nerves? How do I gracefully get out of that? You know, it's a true thing. When it's a short-term mission trip, or even if you've built a relationship with them and they're far away, if they get on your nerves, it's just easier to deal with when they're on a different continent.
That's so true. Yeah, but I'm going to share a story at the end of this, in the fourth segment, where the opposite side of that coin is. Where
I'm on their nerves?
No, not when you're not on anybody's nerves. You just start making a connection, but you got to leave.
Oh, yes.
You know, and with the difficulty of that part of it, too. But I can, yeah, the cultural difference, I know if somebody gets on, then they will, because they're people. You can spend your time somewhere else, or even with your team members, too, instead of with engaging in that culture, which some people find more comfortable and find it difficult to engage the culture. The last one of the reasons why I tease out in this blog is the reality that when we go to a foreign country specifically, or not even just that, to another community, we are always visitors and not citizens. A visitor lives differently. In other words, when we go to Honduras, we live in the dormitories that have been built by Bethesda Church. They got their showers and beds all ready for us, and that's where we're going to stay. We don't have our own house that we're living in. We don't have to go buy groceries in that community. We don't have to buy gas in that community. We don't have to pay taxes in that community. We are visitors. And even though we have relationships with the people, it's different. And it was kind of intriguing. Why I kind of thought about this one, too, is we have a number of people in the United States moving to Honduras and expatriates living there because it's cheaper. And I wonder how well they really get engaged in the culture and how long do they really stay there before they come back to the United States when they're no longer visitors, but they are not maybe technically citizens, but they're in one sense are.
Right. Well, they're not treated with the level of hospitality, you're telling me, is what makes a difference. When you're a visitor, you're treated with hospitality and taken into people's homes and served a little bit. When you're planted there, you're on your own a lot more.
Hey, I wish I could have Estella cook every meal. And she's a great cook, you know, and have my breakfast and lunch and dinner served by her, you know, and somebody else doing the work of driving me around town to all my calls and whatever else. Yeah, that'd be nice. But that's kind of what we get in a mission trip. We have bus drivers that take us everywhere. And driving into Tegucigalpa, I would not want to do. It's a trip. I like it because the bus drivers are doing all of it for me. If I were in a car driving it, I don't know if I could do it. I just don't know. They have stop signs all over town, but stop is even less than a suggestion. It's just this little sign.
It's just something colorful.
Yeah, on the side of the road. Anyway.
Well, I was even thinking about the food. Like, it's great right now, but what if it's the same menu every 2 weeks for the rest of your life?
And there comes a day when I won't be drinking bottled water anymore. And how will I do when I drink their own water, which is treated, by the way. They do treat it. Am I going to survive Montezuma's revenge? Which I did this time. This is the first time I've gone and not had Montezuma's revenge there. It was wonderful. Except I came back with a cold from the flight. So anyway, we're gonna take a break again. But it sounded a little negative to some of you, but it's something I want to tease out, kind of be sobering a bit about this idea of short-term ministry and long-term ministry. But I want to talk in the next segment with Rochelle about the benefits of short-term mission trips, because there are benefits and things I've thought about, and I'm sure, Rochelle, you have too, because you've been on a mission trip as well, a short-term mission trip. So we'll talk about that when we come back from this break.
At Holy Cross Lutheran Church in Colorado Springs, Colorado, we encourage those who hunger to be nourished by God. We believe that true nourishment for our lives is met in our Creator and Redeemer God. At Holy Cross, we proclaim the message that our God desires intimacy with us through His Son, Jesus Christ, and that worship is an experience of this intimacy. To find out more about our worship styles and times, visit our website at www.holycrosscs.org. That again is holycrosscs.org. And if you don't live in the Colorado Springs community or you are part of a different Christian community, we encourage you to join with God's people as He nourishes His relationship with you.
To keep this conversation going, we would love for you to email us at questions@prayingwiththeeyes.com. Let us know your thoughts, and maybe you see some benefits or struggles between short-term mission trips and long-term ministry. And sure, we would sure love to have you share those with us. But I want to get in a discussion with Rochelle here about why short-term mission trips are beneficial too, because I'm looking forward to going back, and I'm not going to Peru this time. Hopefully I'll get to go back to Peru sometime before I retire from ministry, and even though we have a different relationship with the people there, because it's great to go to these countries, it's great to be a part of other people's lives and to be a part of that trip. So we want to talk about some of those benefits that a person receives when they go on a short-term mission trip. And this by no means is an exhaustive list, because I'm sure if I had polled all 25 of us that went to Honduras, that each one of us would probably have added something else to this list. But one of the things I saw as a benefit for me is related to my faith, and this is probably the major one, is to understand something I already know, but then you experience that this God who is at work here in Colorado Springs is the same God who works in the same way in Honduras. That to me was a great benefit. Did you see that in the Ukraine too? Is that something you experienced, or maybe, I don't know.
No, I did experience it. And in some ways, almost, that sometimes we take, I don't want to say even take for granted, that sometimes their faith might have been stronger or they were in a different place. I saw God work more in their culture than what I see here.
I totally agree with that. Absolutely.
So it spurred me on to trust God for more here than I would have before I went.
And on the other hand, I would say to open my eyes to see what's going here. Because I think sometimes because of I just take things for granted. I don't see how God is working here.
Right, because He's working all the time, and it's kind of like the kids take my parenting for granted. They assume, well, they don't anymore.
Not your kids.
They used to assume dinner would always happen, but that doesn't happen all the time anymore.
All right, good for you.
But, you know, it's not because it's bad or good. It's just that we get used to God as taking good care of us, and we forget to notice.
Yeah, we do. And there we're so keenly aware of it when we're in Honduras, because that's why we're there. I mean, that's, it goes back to that issue of being highly structured. It's all about the ministry when we're there. And we see, and that's why we encourage, a lot of people encourage, when you do a long-term or a short-term mission trip, create a long-term relationship with that community. And that's what we've done in Le Paderique, a relationship we've been developing for 15 years. Over those 15 years, you begin to see the changes in the community, some of them physical because of the better food that they are eating now as part of our Feed the Children aspect of our church. You see that. You see the growth of these children become young adults now. And some of them, one of them, this is one of the neat stories to see how God worked, was this at worship. Jeff and Lori introduced me to a former Compassion International Project child who's now 25. We supported her in her college studies through our golf tournament we do here. Now she's a charge nurse in a hospital, and she's going on to further education to become a clinical psychologist. And you get to see that in a long-term relationship. You see how God works. And then you open, like you come back here and you say, well, you know, God's doing that same thing. I just think it's really cool.
Right. It just opens your eyes to what He's doing in your own community and things that you could be doing more of in your own community, praying together as a group as opposed to trying to do it all alone, things that way.
And then, but you know, on the other side of that coin is that I find myself going back to struggling with those issues of praying, because I'm more aware of it now, you know, and what I should be praying for. But yet I have those bad habits I've had for so long that it's easy to go back into even after a mission trip.
That's why God's sending you next year.
That's right. That's right. That's right. Yeah, no, it has to do with Estella's cooking. That's what it has to be why I'm going back. No, actually, I want to go back and see some of the children and what's happened in their lives. One especially, I posted a picture of this little girl from Tegucigalpa. And as a result of that picture being posted, a member of our team sponsored her, because she was not sponsored yet in a compassion project. She was there, but she wasn't sponsored yet. I really look forward to seeing maybe the change that happened in her life just over that 1 year. So yeah, there's a lot of things I wish to. But another benefit for me is being pushed out of my comfort zone. And a mission trip will do that, because the first thing you, when you take a trip to Tegucigalpa, that pushes you out of your comfort zone is landing at the airport. I think I've kept people from going by saying this. I love landing at the airport in Tegucigalpa. You set the plane set on its left wing, and you're doing this banking, and all of a sudden it straightens out, and boom, you're on the runway. Oh, those pilots are great. It's so much fun. I just love it. I love it. People applaud when we land. Yay. But you got to go through customs. That pushes you out of in a foreign country. You know, will my luggage be there?
Right. You're making me laugh. When we were in Ukraine, one of ours was, we took a train to somewhere, which was its own experience. But when we got off the train, there was a very scary looking military man who came over and talked to the leader of our group. We all just kind of stepped away, like we weren't with him, because we were afraid he was going to get arrested or something. But so just the fear of not knowing what uniforms, what he was a scary Russian officer who in the end was one of us, but we didn't know it yet. So
yeah, that's really a good point, because that happens in Tegucigalpa a lot. And even in Le Padariki, the military presence is different than it is in the United States. And in Honduras right now, the president has, because there was so much corruption in city police, he's brought the military into Tegucigalpa to police the city. But what was helpful to me was one of our translator who lives in Tegucigalpa said it's really been beneficial for the because they don't take bribes. They're nicer to the residents and so forth, things we wouldn't expect. But you see them everywhere, and they're not just in uniform. They've got their automatic rifles or whatever with them. I'm not a gun person to know what they were.
But they're intimidating, and it's not what you're used to seeing. Yeah.
Well, even security people there have their shotguns and other rifles with them in the city, and you're not used to it. And we've never been threatened by anybody. You know, I've been approached by drunks in the city of Le Padariki, but it still pushes you outside your comfort zone.
It does. I think our scariest thing was packs of wild dogs in the city. Those were scary to encounter in the evenings. So.
Now, that's interesting, because the dogs, lots of dogs, as you would expect in Honduras, but they're afraid of people. They don't. They may pack up, and they have a utilitarian purpose. They're the cleaning crew. They clean up all the trash, at least the edible stuff that's around. And they're there also as the alarm clock in the morning. Okay, so there's no glass windows, right? They just open. There's windows in the dorms, but no, there's no glass in them. And at 4 in the morning, I would wake up every morning to the roosters, hundreds of them starting to crow. I mean, it's just unbelievable, the noise. And it starts on one end of the town and it works to the rooster that lives on the property of the church. And he would stand right outside our door at 5:30 to 6 o'clock in the morning, and he would let loose. And it was so fun. I enjoyed it. But the dogs would then join in that chorus at some point. And then the buses, which are their way of getting around, would honk their horns in the morning. So a lot of our team members bring earplugs. I won't, because I think it's a cool. It's just fun. But you get pushed out of your comfort zone. And sometimes it can be, things are just done differently.
Yeah.
And it's
good to say that there are different ways of doing things too. Yeah.
That's right. And we begin to be a little bit sober about our culture. And it's real dangerous for us Americans, because we are such idiots sometimes, thinking that everybody has, every culture should be like us. And when you go there, there's usually things I wish I go, oh man, I wish American culture was this way. You know, time. Time's a big one. They don't have the same understanding of time. Worship starts at 9 o'clock. That's a suggested time. You know,
it's a that's time the kind when they of start gathering. I can do.
Yeah. And when it's over, it's over. Do they look at their watches? No, it'll be done before they have to eat. But it's not, it's just such a relaxed view of time. Though some of that's changing because everybody has cell phones down there now. It's cheaper than putting in landlines. And that's changing their culture too. To have that instant communication and that, like with Facebook, everybody's on Facebook. Interesting. And the third thing that I see for myself that I think it makes is a benefit of going on a short-term mission is I get to sit back and you get to work with other gifted people. You know, so there were 25 of us that went. One of our team members came from Florida. And just gelling together and watching them. And as I was telling Rochelle during that break, I go as the official photographer for the group, not only as pastor, which that's my number one responsibility, but I go as photographer of the event. And so a photographer, you're always sitting back and observing and watching what's going on and trying to capture that with the pictures you're taking. And I got to watch the team that went be successful and to care for each other. We had a gentleman who was with us whose brother passed away while we were on the trip, and watching the team surround him and help him. And also there to watch his sponsor child in Le Padrique. At the moments he just needed a little extra touch, that child would come up to him and want to be hugged by him. Throughout the whole worship service on Sunday, his sponsor child was in his arms. And it was just this amazing spirit-led thing to watch and watch people be successful. Those of us who are better at relating with people, you watch that happening. Those are better at structuring things, making it organized. They did a great job. Yeah, there were times we got a little tested. We got into each other's nerves a bit because you're tired. But to me, that's what benefit of going is working with other gifted people.
That, yeah. And yeah, getting to know them better than and maybe building relationships with those people, too, that you might not have outside of the trip. I thought of one other from the short term, and I told you this off mic. But for me, it was also it gave people an opportunity to talk to you about things they might not talk to you about if you were going to be there in their community a long time. I had one pastor's wife that opened up to me about that she was a very lonely woman, and also that her husband was abusive, but which is kind of part of their culture. But she talked to me about things that she could not share with other people in her community as a pastor's wife. So it helps them out too sometimes to have someone who's not going to be in there all the time to open up and say things they might not.
Why do you think she chose you?
I was at her house that day. I don't know, to be honest. I don't know. Other than it was long enough ago, I'm trying to remember how conversations began. I spent time with her.
Before she opened up to you, you had spent time with her?
Yeah. We'd spent the day together and going through her church and meeting some of the women in her ministry there and things. So I think she just felt comfortable, honestly.
Yeah, I can see that when we go on, because Compassion International is a wonderful organization, and if any of you listeners are interested in sponsoring a child, I really would encourage you to go to their website. I don't know what that is. I'll put a link in the show notes for that, and look at sponsoring a child. They do an amazing job with the money that is given for each child, and we personally see it because we see it in them. But where we really see it happening is on, for us this time, it was Tuesday afternoon. Tuesday afternoon, the members of our team who have sponsored children will go down there and we'll go visit their child in their homes. So we called, you know, of course, home visits. The fun part of that was we got to take their taxis, and their taxis are like glorified rickshaws that have engines on them and stuff, and riding around town with these taxi drivers. I took a picture of the three that we were riding in our visits, so those who went with me. And the one I was in with Callie and Jerry was the most banged up, and we didn't notice that until we saw the picture. I'm going, it'd been beat up pretty well. But anyway, it's a lot of fun to do that. But in those homes, the connect with those children, they open up. And you know, we had a situation where one of our sponsor children was graduating out of the Compassion International program because they're old, the time for them to graduate. But the year previous, her mother had died. And you see this change and this ministry going on and connecting between the sponsor family who has been with this child for a number of years. And so they are like family to each other because they communicate all year long. And it's amazing to see that connection take place. So actually, Rochelle, you opened up to where I want to begin the last segment of our podcast. Because the flip side for me in this relationship aspect, for you, is about the person being able to open up to you, which is a great thing. For me, when a person opened up to me, the hard part was not being able to continue that relationship because it was a short-term mission trip. And we'll start off with that, and we'll talk about the importance of relationships, both in short-term mission trips and in long-term ministry. We'll be back in a moment.
Are you looking for a place where you are welcomed as you are? A place where thoughts are welcomed as well as your doubts? A place where you can talk about God without being judged? Then I invite you to join in the life-changing experience of Life Tree Cafe. At Life Tree Cafe, you will spend an hour gathering with others to experience a host-led discussion over topics ranging from serious, fun, and quirky. For more information about Life Tree Cafe and for a location near you, visit their website at www.lifetreecafe.com. If you live in the Colorado Springs community, you are more than welcome to join us at Holy Cross for one of three Life Tree experiences on Monday or Tuesday over the lunch hour from 11:45 to 12:45 or on Wednesday from 6 to 7 p.m. Life Tree Cafe. Come join the conversation.
I know this talk has probably struck a chord with some of you about short-term ministry trips and long-term ministry, and we'd like to hear from you. If it has, if there's questions you still have, please email us at questions@prayingwiththeeyes.com. So I want to start out this last segment by a story that I'm still thinking about here in my time back home. In Tegucigalpa, on the last day we were there, it's a Friday, we flew out on Saturday. In the morning, it was a hot day. I remember that we were getting into the 90s by that time. We went to a hospital. There's only two hospitals in Tegucigalpa for 1.7 million people. The one hospital is what we were called their Social Security hospital. If you're working, you pay into it, and that's the hospital you go to. And the larger hospital is for everybody else. And they're really not that far from each other either in the city. And it's really hard to get care. But it was arranged for us by Carmen, who's been with us for all our length of going to Honduras. It was arranged by Carmen to visit the Social Security Hospital and just to go to the two floors that had children on them. And so we split our team up and climbed the 7 or 8 flights. We did not take elevators, and I had my camera bag on my back, which right now was probably weighing about 30 pounds instead of the 15 pounds that it was, up these steps, and we came up onto the floor. And we got some juice boxes and some crackers, and we were allowed to go into these rooms and then talk to the children, and more than likely that was the parent that we would talk to that was in the room with these children, and give those juice boxes or milk boxes and crackers to them. And then through our translators, we were able to carry on a conversation with them. And there's no privacy in these rooms. There's three large rooms in the floor that we were in, plus one smaller room. The three rooms had like three cubicles on each side of them. There's no curtains. There's glass, and there's two beds in each cubicle. So each room would have 12 beds in it. And you could have in one bed in one of those cubicles a preteen, and then in the other bed an infant, and with the parent there talking. And so we'd go up and talk to them, and we didn't, you know, we were trying to be very sensitive to them. We didn't ask them what was wrong. We talked to them, and if the parent would offer back to us what was going on, we could talk about it then. We were allowed to and encouraged to ask if the person would want us to pray with them, and the people that I asked that question to agreed, and we prayed with them. The last lady, though, I talked to still sticks in my brain, and it's going to relate to what Rochelle had talked about in the last segment with this pastor's wife, who was able to tell her things that she probably wasn't able to tell others. And this was a similar experience I felt as well. This mom was sitting in a chair with her one-month-old baby, Ricardo. And since she was sitting in a chair, I got down on my knees to talk to her so I wasn't standing above her. And I don't remember how we really got into the conversation. I'm fairly certain that I had mentioned to her that I was a pastor. And she had said to me, well, she believed in God. And then she said to me, with tears flowing out of her eyes, I don't understand why God doesn't answer my prayers. And so I spent time reflecting back with her about that feeling of God being silent, and spending time. And a translator did a really good job of helping us understand. Their child was in, she told me, for convulsions, and they couldn't figure out what was happening, why this child was having those convulsions. And so we talked through that for a while, and then I prayed with her and left the room. And so we're in the hallway outside for a while, and again, there's really no privacy. She can still see me out there in the hallway, and she looked at me. And she smiled at me at that time. And, if you know, of course, at that point, it felt really good that felt like there was this connection that we had made. But when I got home back here to Colorado Springs, I kept thinking about that situation and thinking about, because this was a short-term ministry trip, I did not have the opportunity to come back and visit her again, to see how things were progressing with her son, and to listen more to her story. It was a one-and-done situation. And I prayed for Ricardo. I don't know what has happened since then, and so forth. But it added to me, in my visit there, to my understanding that it's all about relationships. And whether we go on a short-term relationship or a long-term relationship, or ministry trip, short-term ministry trip or long-term ministry is what we're engaged in, it's always about relationships. And it kind of fits into, we're recording this during Holy Week, and my devotion today was on John 13. In John 13, 34, in the upper room with his disciples, Jesus said, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also are to love one another." And love is the highest form of a relationship. And there was love, and there was compassion in a very interesting way that this woman and I were sharing with each other in that moment, talking about her son. But it was different. And I think we need to acknowledge that. It's still about relationships, but it's going to be a different kind of relationship we have with the people on a short-term mission trip.
I even look at that Jesus did that in his own ministry. He had his long-term relationships, but surely he had many short-term encounters with people as well.
Exactly. I think, you know, think about the people he healed. You know, now it says that Bartimaeus followed him on the way to Jerusalem, so there might have been a little bit more of a relationship mm-hmm. there. But you don't hear that often, do you? He healed them, and we don't hear that person again.
Right. Oftentimes, that's it. And yeah. We don't think about that. And I'm sure that was hard on Jesus as well.
Oh, I'm sure it was. Yes, yeah, yeah. But there's still, if we go on a short-term mission trip and we're not engaged in relationships, then it's just a vacation. I mean, you know, because you said earlier in the podcast, Rochelle, about the opportunity, when you go on a mission trip, the opportunity to see the poverty and the way the people really live in that country. And that's part of it. And then a short-term mission trip takes it even a little further, saying, now let's engage the people on a certain level Because it's about relationships.
Right. It's definitely deeper than tourism.
Yeah. Yeah. But so the relationship we have with the people in specifically in Le Puerto Rico is a long-term relationship for us at Holy Cross. And what I mean by that is, yeah, we make these short-term trips once a year down to Le Puerto Rico. We spend 4 days usually there in that community. But the relationship we have with them is actually a year-long relationship. I'm not sure. I think I mentioned before. I'm not sure. I've been talking about this in many different areas. But there are over 120 people at Holy Cross who sponsor children through Compassion International in Honduras. And that's a lot. So there's a monthly amount that they contribute to that child to help them experience Jesus Christ and get food and other things that they may not get otherwise through the project in that community. And there's a number of those 120 are actually in Le Puerto Rico. And so there's a monthly relationship that goes on. And then there's letters that go back and forth between the sponsor child and the sponsor family. And there's gifts given at Christmas and at other times to those children. And when we're there, they actually give gifts to the sponsor family. And there were some amazing gifts that they gave to sponsors when I experienced this year. So that's one thing we're engaged in that's part of the long-term relationship. Another thing we do as a congregation as a whole is a portion of our congregation tithe goes to a program called Feed the Children in Le Puerto Rico. I believe very strongly that a congregation, if we want people to tithe, to give a tenth of what they're earning to the Lord through Holy Cross, then we ought to be giving a tenth of our money away to that comes to us to support other ministries. And one of them is this Feed the Children, where this money that goes down there, and it's well accounted for, we make sure that it is, pays for a protein supplement to the diet of the children in the communities around Le Puerto Rico and in Le Puerto Rico. And it only goes to the children. It doesn't go to the adults. It does go to feed the children so that they get more protein and fat in their diet, so those things that are very important. It doesn't happen every day, but they get it more often than they would otherwise. And you see the difference it's making in the health of these children. Another portion of that Feed the Children actually goes to help them purchase fertilizer and other supplements to help them grow their own food, which they're doing now in Le Puerto Rico. The soil is very nutrient depleted, and so they need to add nutrients to it, but they're also good about conservation and so forth of the soil. They do a very good job up there. But part of that helps them to supplement so the crops can grow. And then the third thing we do to keep this ongoing relationship, it's kind of one short-term event that is spread out through the year to help the students in Le Puerto Rico, that college students, in that we have a golf tournament every year, and the proceeds from that golf tournament pays not the tuition to a national university in Honduras is free, but not the books and not the fact that they have to live in a different city. So the money from that golf tournament supports selected individuals in the church in Bethesda to do their education. But that looks a lot different. It's still not face to face. Much of it. It's a little bit, but not much. Whereas here in ministry, it's much more face-to-face. You know, and what and I know I'm doing most of the talking here, but I'm going to let Rochelle, I'm going to let Rochelle share a story too, or a kind of a comparison here in a second. The value to the money that goes to the children and others in Honduras is a relationship we have with them, which is they know us face to face. Maybe it's not all year, but they can put a face to it. So our money has value. And we've had people say, well, why don't you save the money that you would spend on going to a trip, which can be, depending on the year and the airline fare, it can be somewhere between $70,000 to $100,000 for 25 people to go to Honduras. And so why don't you just send that money down there? And what I found this time and talked with some other team members about is the value of that money is the relationship we have. They know us here at Holy Cross. And Rochelle, you had an interesting analogy, and I think a spot on why that's so.
It just reminded me of like when parents are divorced and one is sending money, but maybe never wanting to see the children. It the money becomes meaningless, you know, useful in one way and glad they've got it, but But what the child's desiring is the relationship with that parent and the money. They might even resent it being sent instead of the relationship. So I just feel like they're missing out on something when you don't have both.
I think that's a really good analogy, and I think some of our listeners understand that. Probably maybe unfortunately it struck a chord with some of them because of their own personal experiences. And so, yeah, they would rather have us spend that money to come down than for us to give them the money to do something else with. I firmly believe that.
You even mentioned, too, because of the relationship you're building, it actually helps you continue to want to give and build. When you're not building the relationship, the money will peter out. You become less and less inspired to send money when you don't see what it's doing, when you're not a part of the hands-on building.
I believe that if we stopped making those trips, there would come a time down the road when we would even stop giving any help to them.
Right, because you no longer have a connection there. To wonder why.
Yeah, and it's the connection. And the connection is that we see what God is doing with that gift. And to know that they are loved by us and we know we're loved by them, that just is an amazing experience. And it goes back to that new commandment, you know, to love each other. And the evidence of that is in that trip of going, but it also needs to be in our face-to-face relationships with people here. And so even there, so use an example of the deadbeat dad, or how you want to call it, you know, even though that's not really deadbeat, it's the person giving the money but doesn't have the relationship. Maybe it sparks us to say, look, I need to give more than just my money to things. I need to be involved relationally with people.
Right. I mean, it could actually just as well happen in my own household. I could just be paying for my kids' activities, but not involved in anything they do or care. There's something missing there.
That's very real. And that's really true, because it takes time to have to be involved in a relationship with them. And time is the most valuable commodity we have today.
So, it is hard to find, so it means something to people when you spend it.
Exactly. And I struggle with that. You know, I do. I struggle that with, you know, just giving Janice the time she needs and wants, and I need to be in that relationship with her. And from what? What am I going to use my time otherwise for? Watching television? You know,
taking pictures.
So. Taking pictures, yeah. Yeah, things that some of it would be okay, but, you know, yeah, it's all about relationships. Well, thank you for being with us in this episode of the Praying with the Eyes podcast. Again, this is a ministry of Holy Cross Lutheran Church in Colorado Springs, Colorado. Please visit our website at holycrosscs.org to find out more about us. And even though by the time this is published, Easter will be the next day and we'll be out of Holy Week, we would encourage you not just to worship with your community of God's people on Easter, but to continue that relationship with them as well. At Holy Cross, we worship at 8 o'clock, 9:30, and 11 o'clock on Sunday mornings. And if you don't have a church home, we would love for you to visit us. Praying with the Eyes ministry includes daily devotions, and if you're looking for something in your life to help guide you through and structure a daily devotional for you, we'd love to have you visit our website at prayingwiththeeyes.com. You can subscribe to getting those daily devotions on email every day. I know some of you listening to say, but I don't get it every day. Well, sometimes when we repost an old blog, which we have to do, it doesn't send out that day again. It won't send it out twice. So I apologize for that. But it's a good place to go. This ministry that I started in October of Monday Morning Muses on Facebook, I post a video of something I'm musing about for 10 minutes. That continues to grow, and you're sure welcome to follow that. You can find that at Holy Cross's Facebook page or on my personal Facebook page as well. We look forward to you being with us in our next episode.
Thank you for joining us today on this edition of the Praying with the Eyes podcast. These podcasts are produced by Jason Laird Productions, which you can find online at jasonlairdproductions.com. For thoughts and questions that you might have, please email Doug. That is questions@prayingwiththeeyes.com. Be sure to subscribe to the Praying with the Eyes podcast on iTunes, as well as post a review. We invite you to tell a friend about today's podcast by posting a link on your social media accounts. We look forward to being with you in our next episode.